name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's gospel, the Lord gives another parable, and it's about a wedding feast that is prepared by a king and for the occasion of his son's marriage. He sends his servants out to call all those who were bidden. But it turns out they weren't willing to come. So he sent his servants out again saying, I have prepared my dinner for my oxen, the fatted cattle. Everything is ready. Come. But again, those who were invited made light of it. And they excused themselves, giving one kind of excuse after another. Business to tend to, got a farm, and so on. Some even ill-treat the servants and kill them. The ones that were sent to invite them to this great banquet. The king is furious. He sends his troops out to deal justice to the murderers and destroys them and their cities. Now, that's a pretty strong warning to those who scorn the Lord God. Because this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven. The king then says the wedding is ready, but because those who were invited didn't come, and he says they weren't worthy. So he sends his servants out into the highways to gather everyone he could find. And they come from all over. And then the wedding hall is now filled with guests. However, the king notices one guest who has no wedding garment. And he has this guest bound and thrown out into outer darkness. What does all this mean? And how does this apply to us? Well, first of all, the parable itself is primarily about how the Jews did not respond to the call of Christ. And the kingdom of heaven is then opened up to everyone, fortunately for us. The kingdom of heaven was open to everyone. And in the very next verse after this parable, which we didn't read this morning, we read, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him." They knew Jesus was talking about them in this parable. But there's also something that we need to heed in this parable as well. This parable makes it clear that we do not come to the wedding feast in the kingdom of God on our own merits. We must put on the garment of salvation that is provided to us by God. Now, Jewish tradition frequently compared the Messianic kingdom to a feast. And in this parable, we're focusing on that day in which we are to enter the kingdom of God in its fullness and sit down at that great wedding banquet. All of us are bidden to take part in that future event. In Revelation 19:9, we hear, "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." On the other hand, woe to those who prefer the things of this world than to come to the wedding of the Lamb. Another warning. Or even worse, are those who turn away from God, as illustrated by those in this parable who actually killed the messengers of the king. They later received retribution from the king. And strangers were then invited to come. And though we may be strangers, we are invited into the kingdom of God. Others were invited and were able to come regardless of their prior state in life, both good and bad. But at the very end of this parable, as we heard, there was another warning. And this warning is for all of us. We're not in that first group of the Jews that were invited and did not come. And we're fortunate to be in that second group that's been invited, and we can all come. Even though we may be strangers to the king, we're invited to that great wedding banquet. But then at the end of this parable was found one who did not have a wedding garment. Now, how could he be faulted if he was one of the poor and he was invited just out from the, the highways and byways of life and he doesn't have any good clothes to bring? In verse 12, he was asked, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Why was he bound hand and foot? Why was he cast out into darkness? And what warning is this to us who are part of this second group? You see, this is also an illustration of he may have come, but there was more anticipated than just walking in. And this is what is meant by the last phrase of the parable: "For many are called, but few are chosen." There was a period of time between the invitations of the strangers and the coming and the actual feast. And the king sincerely desires that everyone should come to the feast. As many as you can find, invite them, bring them in. That's the first part of this summary: "For many are called." However, it's clear that the king expects that all who come, come properly prepared. He fully expects those that come to make use of his own facilities that he offers them within his own house to prepare for this feast, to dress themselves with the garments that he has there to provide for those, and thus to come properly as is expected to a wedding feast. A poor person encountered in the street can't be expected to have a wedding garment, but once in the house of the king, he can, and he must get hold of one in order to be there for the feast. In other words, maybe looking at it another way, God does not expect us as sinners to come to him on our own merits. We come as we are, but we don't go to the wedding in our own clothes. Though we have nothing, we are provided with what we need to go to that great wedding. God brings us into his house, his church, purely through his own grace and mercy, and gives us opportunities for clothing ourselves with the garments of holiness that lie within his house. The same God who invites us to the marriage feast provides us with the wedding garment for all who will come. But we got to put it on. Man doesn't buy or earn this wedding garment. It is given to us by God. It is the gift of God to us. It's the white robe of salvation that is given to us. I'd like to read something that every time before the liturgy, the clergy perform a short service as the Kairon, as we venerate the icons before we begin. The very end of that, of venerating the icons, as we're coming into the altar area, the priest says this prayer: "How shall I, the unworthy, dare to enter the brilliance of a holy place? If I venture to enter that bridal chamber, my garment will denounce me, for it's not a wedding garment, and I shall be cast out, bound by the angels." I mean, so what do we do? Well, the very completion of this prayer is what we do. "Cleanse, O Lord, the defilement of my soul, and save me, for thou art the lover of mankind." We turn to God. We repent. We ask for his holiness to be placed upon us. Then as we are vesting, we begin our first prayers: "My soul shall rejoice in the Lord, for he hath clothed me with a garment of salvation, and with a robe of gladness he has encompassed me." He gives us the robes we need to wear so that we can come to the great wedding banquet. The same God who invites us into the marriage feast gives us the wedding garment that we need to attend. St. Paul speaks of this robe when he says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." We're putting on that wedding garment of Christ. God accepts us as we are, but he doesn't expect us to come to the wedding feast as we were. He expects us to come clothed with the garment he has given us, the garment of salvation. If we come trusting in our own goodness, feeling that we've done good enough that surely we can come in on our own merits, we're just coming in our own clothes. In the parable, the king quickly recognized someone who did just this. Instead, we must put on the king's garments that he provides us. And we do this by being repentant and pardoned. That's how we get that white robe. This is the only way we can clothe ourselves in a garment proper for the coming wedding feast. And thus, as we are properly clothed for the feast after being invited, we're now chosen to partake of this feast. But not all whom the king has so generously brought into the hall of his great house take advantage of the contents of that house. And thus they do not prepare themselves. They do not put on the garment of salvation. If we just rest on the fact that we're called and we do nothing, we may not be chosen. The ones who are chosen are those who reach out, participate in the kingdom of God, who participate in his church, and put on those garments that he gives them to them. And you know, we kind of put those on a piece at a time throughout our life. I mean, it's like, you know, we do something, we repent, God gives us another piece of clothes. You know, he's constantly dressing us for that great wedding day. So there won't be any doubt that we can go to that wedding feast if we just repent and turn to him throughout our lives. The garment of holiness and salvation will be for us. So in today's parable, we see that the illustration of how the Jews rejected God's salvation through Christ Jesus was, in a very real sense, to our benefit, because God turned it to all the highways and byways of life, to all of us, and expanded the invitation of the kingdom of God to everyone. But we also see with that invitation came responsibility. And woe to those who come to that wedding feast and don't put on the wedding garment that's offered to them. No one can use the excuse that they didn't have the wedding garment, because our King provides it. Many are called in, but to be chosen, you need to be properly clothed. So, let's make sure we do that. Let us not be so arrogant to think that we're good enough on our own merits and we just rely on ourselves. We have rich garments of holiness within the king's house, but it's up to us, day by day, week by week, to take the garments of holiness that he gives us as we need them, to put them on. Many are called, but few are chosen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.